This is Soul Ties, a single tape by Jack Frost. If you'd like more information about tapes from Shallow Place Ministries, or you'd like to receive a free newsletter, write us at P.O. Box 5, Conway, South Carolina, 29528, or call at area code 803-381-0007.
Torn when two or more curses become bonded together in the realm of the soul, which is your mind, your will, your ability to make choices, and your emotions. It's a knitting together of two souls that can either bring blessings in a godly relationship or destruction and confusion when the tie is made with the wrong person or where wrong motives are concerned. It's a knitting together of two souls that can either bring blessings in a godly relationship or destruction when made with the wrong person or with wrong motives. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 18. We'll look at a godly soul tie. 1 Samuel 18. Starting at verse 1. David just defeated Goliath. He's got some favor in the camp. People saw there was an anointing upon this lad. And I don't care if the lad's 17 years old. I don't know about you, but when I visibly recognize there's an anointing on somebody, I want to spend some time with that person. And Jonathan saw that too and said, "Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself." The word knit means here to bind up, to join together, to knit, to make stronger in a bond. That their soul, again, when we say the word soul, we mean the mind, the will, and the emotions. Their soul was brought together in a positive, godly relationship. There was a love between one another, and you'll see all through the stories and the scriptures on Saul and David that they encouraged one another in the Lord. That when one was weak, the other was there to strengthen them. It was a bond of love that brought the two together, and the two literally became one in the spirit between man and man, and they strengthened each other in God. That bond of love was strong. Now, a soul tie can, if the motives of even one person are impure, develop into an emotional dependency in which two people will end up having motives that are ungodly, and that relationship can turn into a bondage. It can turn into confusion, manipulation, control. And if we're in an unhealthy relationship like that with one person, an emotional dependent relationship like that with one person, it'll hinder our relationship with God, but it'll also hinder our relationship with other people around our sphere of influence. It doesn't only involve those two. It involves every person that is in contact with these people because it will create a pattern in their life. Basically, the root sin of it is idolatry when God's concerned, because we've become dependent, emotionally dependent upon a person rather than God. Genesis 44, verse 20 and 30, we see where Jacob's soul was tied to Joseph, his son. Here we see another positive soul tie. This occurred between a father and a son. We see a negative soul tie in Deuteronomy 13:6, where a negative soul tie can occur. It says, "If your brother, your mother's son, or your son or daughter, or the wife you cherish, or your friend who is as your own soul, entice you secretly, saying, 'Let us go and serve other gods whom neither you nor your father have known, or of the gods of people who are around you, near you, or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other,' you shall not yield to him or listen to him, or your eyes shall not pity him, nor shall you spare or conceal him." Here it's speaking of, again, someone, a negative soul tie here, someone that literally will entice you or draw you away from the principles of God. Many times we don't realize this is going on. It can happen so innocently at first, but because of hurts or rejections or impure motives within one or two of the people involved, it can lead into a destructive relationship. Let's look at some biblical example of some positive soul ties. 1 Timothy 1:2 is one where we see that Paul was as a father to Timothy. He was as a father to Timothy. This is a tie between two Christians. Look at Ephesians 4:16 and we'll see the soul tie that we have just because we are part of the body of Christ. There's a godly soul tie from whom the whole body, verse 16 of Ephesians 4, from whom the whole body being fitted together and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I'm developing a soul tie with this body. The third time here, it's not as deep as this body has with the pastor and his wife, but because you've received, my wife and I, you've received the ministry into your heart. There's a soul tie taking place, and we're being jointed together. You know what happens if a joint is out of joint? Unhealthy soul tie. It's not going to operate. It's going to cause confusion. It's going to prevent you from operating in the giftings and talents that God's given you in your life. But when that joint is fit together, and we begin to knit to each other, each part working as its own, what's the result? It causes the growth of the body for building up of itself in love. A positive soul tie among the brethren. Another one is in Acts 4:32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, mind, will, and emotions. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. That when a positive soul tie begins to flow, I tell you what's Doug is mine. What's mine and Doug? It's Doug's. We've got a strong soul tie that's been building over the last year or two. Some it's deeper than others. We're developing one heart. He has a heart. Him and Gene have a heart. They want to see the body whole. They've known what bondage is. I've known what bondage is as Spirit-filled Christians. And we're working through freedom and healing in our life. And now we're getting some freedom, and you're going to get it too if you hang around us. Or you're going to run like a jackrabbit, promise. Because we're after getting people free and out of the bondages and hindrances. And when a soul tie is strong, I mean that soul is knit together and great power is going to come forth because no longer is it one, but it's two. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. Why? Because of the soul tie that's come together of one heart. David and Jonathan, we saw 1 Samuel is another positive example. His ties of friendship can strengthen each other in the Lord. Proverbs 6:20, we see another example of father and son soul tie. Proverbs 6:20, and let's look at the result of when that tie is strong and healthy and godly. Starting at verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. And when you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you wake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light and reproofs for the discipline or the way of life. They'll keep you from an evil woman, from the smooth tongue of adulteress. Do not desire a beauty in her heart, nor let her or catch you with her eyelids. That when a soul tie is strong between a father and son, and that parent relationship is parting words of life and words of health and bringing the word into them, that good soul tie literally keeps that child as he grows in maturity, keeps him from moving into mistakes, into trouble, into error. That child bonded here to the father, to the parent, keeps him from people who will ruin his life. It ministers love, it ministers security, ministers health, ministers life unto that child. Another area, good biblical example of soul ties is in marriage. In marriage. We see in Genesis 2:24, and again repeated in Ephesians 5, verse 31. says, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." There are pure and holy soul ties that will always bring an anchoring in love one towards another. It affects every aspect of our life, spirit, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and even body as we become one in the flesh towards one another. Now, most of us, all of us, to walk in the fullness of what Christ has for our life, and we learned this yesterday, needs to be in some definitely positive soul ties with the body of Christ. One-on-one, underneath the body, we spent some time on that yesterday morning of how we've got to have that bonding to be mature and brought together and forth in love in Jesus Christ. But what brings confusion in many people's lives and what we want to look at here the rest of this morning is the negative effect that soul ties have when we get in a relationship with impure motives or unholy attitudes. What can happen? And there's about 8 different areas where this can happen in that we're going to look at this morning. The first one, we can be under a soul tie will develop when we are literally under false teaching. It can happen within situations like a cult, with involvement in cults. It happens in legalistic churches. There is a bonding that takes place within our mind, and it can literally create a religious stronghold within our mind. Have you ever tried to lead a Jehovah Witness to the Lord? Do you think that there has been a binding to the organization that they're part of or to that teaching? It's a near impossibility to even get someone out of a cult because there has been a soul tie with their mind, their will, and their emotions to that doctrinal issues. And all it will bring eventually in a person's life is confusion. It happened in the Bible. Scriptural reference is what happened in the church of Galatia. Galatians 6:1. I wanted to read this from the Amplified. I went through it this morning in Terry's study. And I like the way it read. Galatians 1, starting at verse 6, says, "I am surprised and astonished that you are so quickly turning renegade and deserting him who invited and called you by the grace, the unmerited favor of Christ the Messiah, and that you are transferring your allegiance to a different, even an opposition gospel." Paul wrote this to the church at Galatia because Judaizers came into the church. They said, no longer is just the grace and salvation of Jesus Christ good enough for your walk in the kingdom. You're going to have to add these legalistic laws and rules. You're going to have to do it this way. And they laid down a list of rules, a list of do's and don'ts for their life. I came out of a hard holiness church that I pastored with a list of do's and don'ts. And it brought more confusion just preaching on some of what I preached on. People weren't getting free in my church. They were getting in such bondage, and there was no peace, and there was no confusion, and they lived in states of guilt. You know, how many messages did I preach? You might be saved tonight, but you're going to hell tomorrow if you don't do this, you know. And now I'm about 99% once saved, always saved. You know, when you come in, the grace of God is so great. We can have some sin in our life, but see, that's what Paul was talking about here. Yeah, we can, I believe, backside. I believe there is a place we can totally reject the place of salvation in our life and the grace of God. But not like it was in the years of those legalism. But look what the result is. It transfers an allegiance. The church of Galatia's allegiance was to God. It can transfer that allegiance to an idolatrous thing. They were transferring it literally to a teaching, a religious teaching of do's and don'ts. But not only did it transfer that allegiance, it took the allegiance away from the man of God in their life, the primary authority in their life, and it moved it on over now unto the legalistic teachings. And what's the result? Verse 7. "Not that there is or could be any other genuine gospel, but there are obvious some who are troubling and disturbing and bewildering you." Well, I believe the King James uses the term throwing you into a state of confusion. Might be the NIV. with a different kind of teaching which they offer as a gospel, and they want to pervert and distort the gospel of Christ, the Messiah, into something which is absolutely not. When we find ourselves coming under that stronghold, a religious stronghold, or a stronghold, a soul tie that is deals with legalism or with a list of do's and don'ts, the end result is going to be confusion, it's going to be bewilderment, disturbing, trouble. What's the root of it all? Look at Galatians 3:1. It says in one version, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" In the Amplified it says, "And you poor and silly, thoughtless and unreflecting, senseless Galatians." See, it was out of their innocency they got caught up in it, but they were still caught up in it. "Who has fascinated or bewitched or cast a spell over you, unto whom right before your very eyes Jesus Christ the Messiah was openly and graphically set forth and betrayed as crucified." What was involved in this is literally where soul ties occur, witchcraft is part of it. Witchcraft is seeking to get your way without going through God. It involves three things. Dim, D-I-M, domination, intimidation, manipulation. And it is literally a spell that becomes wound in our mind. The soul tie is like a spell that is cast, this says. It not only happens, did we lose it? Did we lose the... I thought we lost. He said our battery might go dead. It not only happens within a church structure, it happens in one-on-one relationships, as we're going to see here this morning. You know that often within even the Catholic Church, that often on Sunday mornings they make a confession in Mass that they will not leave the Catholic Church or else they lose their only hope of salvation. You see what a negative soul tie can do? It puts them in a bondage of fear that if they ever leave the church, they're not saved. That's one of the key soul ties we have to break. Every time I'm ministering to someone, well, I grew up in the Catholic Church. Bingo, we've got to break that soul tie there, because it will leave a level of doubt. How many churches have you been in? Whatever denominational, traditional church they might be, if you leave this church, you're in rebellion. Witchcraft. Domination, intimidation, manipulation. They rule with fear, and it brings confusion. It's literally casting spells over people's lives, and it goes on in the Church of Jesus Christ as much as in the world, but it's even more powerful what goes on in the name of God. Because once we said God told us so, who can argue with that? It goes on within many. It can even go on within some of the lodges. And I might step on a little toes here. But it goes on even within a Masonic order. Because when we join that, we make vows or we make pledges to our cohorts, to our members, that if any information is ever get exposed, it's going to be at the penalty of curses coming upon our life. And they say it's all in jest or fear, but if we're speaking something forth and uniting ourselves to somebody, it might be fraternities, even sororities, that we're making pledges that if we ever divulge this or we ever betray someone, a curse is coming upon our life. That brings us into a yoke of a soul tie with that organization, whatever it might be, no matter how godly it might appear or how good a works it might do. The thing is that going against the Word of God, and we'll see before we're through that many of us, this times it does happen. Paul tells us to cut ourselves free from this type of associations. Some of the most harmful, harmful soul ties are religious in nature, and they will always lead to confusion, they will lead to bondage, and they can be a hindrance from us getting through and to who God is in our life. The second area that soul ties occur, and this is a common one. Let me give you all back your Bible.
Okay.
It's tied through fornication. Sex outside of marriage. It's one of the chief bondages and hindrances between a husband and wife flowing well within their sexual relationship, because if they've been involved in a previous relationship, they are still bound in either mind, will, or emotions in one aspect or another to that person. And if they've had many, many, many partners, they're scattered all over the place in who they are and their affection and desires. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 16. For do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? And he says, and God says, the two will become one flesh. Verse 18, flee immorality. Every other sin that a body commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. There is a becoming of oneness when we join ourselves, no matter how good it might seem, how innocent it might seem. Oh, we might have started in the teenage years, but that two now become one and they join together. Look at Proverbs 6. Verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Verse 32. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. This word destroy means throws into a state of confusion. When a man has joined himself with one flesh with another person outside of marriage or woman, you literally are destroying your own soul, your mind, will, and emotions because it throws you into a state of confusion. Can you take fire in your bosom and it not burn you? No, you cannot. It's going to scatter you. Genesis 34, 1. 1 through 3 and verse 8. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Jacob, went out to visit the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her, he took her and lay with her by force. And he was deeply attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the girl, and he spoke tenderly to her. Verse 8, but Hamor spoke with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him in marriage. There is an entanglement that occurs when a sexual union occurs. That oneness in flesh, that scattering that occurs, can create a form of entanglements or tentacles begin to flow forth. Of course, the end result of them was the whole land was killed for that treachery. But that bonding occurs, begins to bring a confusion. Recently, we ministered to someone, Gene ministered to a lady, an associate pastor's wife that had several relationships prior to getting saved and getting married, and she got married to a pastor, associate pastor's wife in the relationship, but there never was a flow between them. They couldn't unite. And Gene just spent a few minutes ministering to her, breaking the power of the soul ties over these previous relationships. And she got a letter a few weeks later saying, it is just wonderful. She said, I can't believe that life can go so well, that the marriage can go so well, just breaking some soul ties from those sexual bonds that have occurred in the past. And we see many people aren't able to flow in unity with husband and wife. We'll see that person's mind gravitating, moving back over to some of the past relationships. We'll see them even having dreams, many times being assaulted by the dreams, until you go in and you break the power of these soul ties over their life, and it's a release and it's a freedom. And often a person will say, I felt the release. Now, we don't go by feelings in ministering, but first they get excited. Man, I felt something let go of me. Why? Because they've been holding a portion of that other person's mind, wills, and emotions had been with them when the two became one flesh. And a portion of themselves has been gone, and they haven't been a whole person. They haven't been able to give themselves fully to their spouse because they haven't been there. And when you find someone that's had hundreds of partners, which isn't uncommon, they are literally scattered everywhere, and they're just this little incomplete something with nothing really to give out but a physical sensation. And that's it. Third area, there can be ties with evil companions or wrong friends. 1 Corinthians 5, 33. It says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. You cannot become knit to someone else who is leading, who is not leading a godly life, without that relationship affecting your integrity, your morals, your emotions, your sexuality. I stayed away from drugs all through the high school years, though a lot of my friends were on it, was able to stay away from it. But then I got into a soul tie with a girl that I had certain intentions with. And we were sitting in a drive-in theater the first summer out of high school, and she fired up a joint. What do you think I was going to do when I was basically after one thing anyway? All the guys in my life, I was able to stand and be a man and say no and let them do their thing in those drugs. That led to 9 years of drug addiction, that one time of saying yes, because of that tie that was forming, because of the impure motives in my heart, led to 9 years of drugs. Jail, busted a couple of times. Psychiatric ward once from the drugs. All because bad company corrupts good morals. Because that soul tie that was taking place there. Proverbs 22. Verse 5. And verse 24 and 25. It says, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards himself will be far from them. If you're walking with a perverse man, what's in your way too? Thorns and snares. Verse 24 and 25. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, lest you learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. This word learn here means by association with. By associating or spending too much time with this type of person, a hot-tempered person, or put whatever behavioral pattern, a drunkard, a drug addict, an immoral type person, by associating with them, oh yes, they're the place to go in to try to witness to them and get them saved. But too much time spent there, usually they rub off on you before you rub off on them. And by spending too much time with this person, you bind them yourself to them, and you will literally begin to take on their characteristics. You'll begin to identify, just because you've chosen to be with them, you'll begin to identify with them, and your mind, your will, and emotions will begin to be formed by what their philosophies and their morals are. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You cannot develop a soul tie with someone unless you have agreed in some way to join your mind and will and emotions or your physical body together with that person. There's got to be consent on your part, yes. But if you spend much time with them, your value system is going to begin to identify with theirs. And with this, when this occurs, it allows for that person or for you to begin to emulate their characteristics, begin to emulate their attitudes, and a transference of spirits occur just from being around them. Whatever demonic spirits are oppressing them, they will begin to be upon you. A fourth area of ungodly soul ties. Just perverted family ties. When ties are governed by manipulation, which is perversion within a family unit, or control, when they're governed by domination, intimidation, manipulation, it's going to create an unhealthy soul tie between that parent and between that child. Smother mothers. Unhealthy soul tie. Keep in mind the word smother only has one letter S difference from mother. But that person's never allowed to come into the fullness of their own identity in Christ because the mother is just overprotecting them, smothering. And that person can be ruled by domination, manipulation. The parent will always say, no, I'm just looking out. I'm trying to protect. I'm just looking out of their own interest. But deep down inside, what has happened is that child has become a substitute mate. Because perhaps the father is not meeting the emotional needs, the love needs of that mother, or there's no father at all in the life. Or if he's there and he's an absolute, an absentee husband or father, or he's just given to work, or he's given to alcohol, he's not meeting the emotional needs of the mother, that mother then turns to one of her children and begins to get her love need on that, and an unholy bond begins to occur. And literally within that child, we dealt with it this week for 3 days, to where there was such an unholy tie that the father was emotionally abusive to the mother, physically abusive to the mother. She turned all of her affections and attentions onto a child. He remembers even as an 8-year-old kid having sexual desires for his mother, because sexual desires begin to form wherever an unhealthy soul tie occurs. And even to this day, as a born-again, spirit-filled elder in a church, he still has dreams of being intimately involved with his mother. Because of domination, intimidation, manipulation, because of witchcraft. Always the root of soul ties. It may go over into perhaps there was sexual abuse or perversion or molestation from one of the parents to that child. There'll be an unhealthy soul tie in that realm that we have to minister to and break the power of that soul tie. We doing all right here? It's quiet. We're not getting any amens in this one, are we? Fifth area. We could preach a whole sermon on that last area, couldn't we?
Domination.
Fourth area was perverted family ties. Twisted or perverted family ties. Domination, intimidation, manipulation is where you will always recognize witchcraft. Witchcraft is not a witch standing over a cauldron. It is the number one destructive force within the church today, and there's more power in a Christian's life than a witch's life, a true witch or satanic witch, whatever you would like to call it. Because we have the power of just the spoken word behind us. And Satan looks to pervert any godly thing into an ungodly thing. Fifth area, soul ties can occur with the dead. Because there was such a bond between a husband and a mother, a husband and a wife, and that wife dies, or that husband dies, there literally needs to be a breaking of that bond and that soul tie somewhere after that death. Because many times that bond has been so strong. Dealing with a situation right now, Doug and I have in the last couple of weeks, where a man's wife, that was the wife of his youth, or the girlfriend of his youth, the only girl he'd ever known, She died in her 40s from cancer, and the bond was so strong, a godly, good godly bond was so strong between this Christian couple. And it's taken him 5 years, 4.5 years to get over it. In the last 6 months, he's been doing good, and he just got in a serious dating relationship, and he called me desperately from out of town last week and just said, "It feels like my wife just died this week." And it occurred to me, that soul tie, and I've ministered to this guy, has never been broken with that strong, godly bond he had with his wife. So he's not free to enter into a new relationship with another woman. And every time he begins to go beyond just a friendly relationship and really begin to say, "Yeah, this is the wife God's got for me," all those old feelings of grief and depression from losing his wife just come right back up. And so when we lose them, it happens with the loss of a child. Desperately happens with the loss of the child. A parent can't let it go. They many times claim responsibility. And we've got to break that emotional bond that has occurred between the parent and the child, or between loved ones. It can even happen with a close friend. What happens when one teen commits suicide in a high school? How many else follow him? Many of the close friends, because there was a bonding of mind, will, and emotions in there, and those soul ties need to be broken. Sixthly, there can be soul ties through occult involvement. That if we are involved in any type of occultic or divination, witchcraft, and before we came into the kingdom, or even in the kingdom, some people are. Or if there is a occultic background, especially among the blacks, there's a lot of roots in the Carolinas, a lot of roots down around the Charleston area. And it's a way of healing, yes. It's a way that in many of the impoverished couldn't go to the doctors, and they'd go to root doctors. But in many instances, it was divination. Many instances that dealt with the occult. Even among the hill people, many times among the hill people, they had doctors that used techniques that were not of God. And we dealt with a situation recently on that same thing. If there's a grandfather involved in finding his cows by going to a certain soothsayer, or whenever he'd lose any of his chickens or cows, he could go to this soothsayer, and they would do something and tell him where it's at. Well, It went right down into this young man's life. He carried it over to the roots of that occult, and you can identify it. If occult doors have been open in your life, why, there'll be memories may be very dull, and you're not able to remember a lot of things. It can be identified by disturbed sleep, or there may be inner voices of some type. There can be continual turmoil, recurrent illnesses, recurrent accidents, continual financial drain. Usually identifies that somewhere back there, there's been a cult involvement in their generational background or in this person's. They may have, of themselves, no knowledge of it, but if you got the fruit, what do we learn? You got the root. We'll minister to it as if it's there, and we'll see people get free of some of the patterns that have been there. There can be soul ties through vows that we make. Numbers 32. Soul ties through vows. This is number 7. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. If we make vows, I had an inner vow in my life. I'll never drink alcohol. That's a vow. There's a soul tie now to me in alcohol. What do you think I ended up doing? Drinking alcohol, because that vow was linked to that. We can make soul ties again with the vows we might make in clubs or sororities or fraternities, which we covered earlier. We can have inner vows that we make within ourselves, and we could spend a whole hour on that. But there's a tie between you and those words you have spoken, and it will come to pass, even though you said perhaps the exact opposite. It will make it come to pass, so there'll be a drawing toward that in our life. Number 8, we can have a soul tie with addictions. The root of this is idolatry in itself. When we begin to move forward into that addiction, there is now a hook in the mind, the will, or the emotions, or all three. There's a hook towards that, and though we want to break the power of that, we want to stop the drinking, we want to stop the foodaholic, we want to stop the sexual addiction, whatever it might be, there is such a draw towards that thing that it's a tie that must be broken. When a person who's bonded to another is governed by impure motives, or by desires for selfish gain, that soul tie between them begins to enable that selfish person to manipulate and control. And this thing has to be broken in a person's life for peace and rest to enter that person, and they could come out of a state of confusion. A person can literally control another person through soul ties because that mind, that will, and those emotions are yoked together, and then they become one because of that instance, and there can be control going back and forth from one to another. Now, there is a danger in developing relationships with individuals who can cause us to become emotionally dependent. That even takes the soul tie into deeper realms. Then soul ties move into that deep manipulation, domination, intimidation, and it takes on that form of witchcraft. And most people don't even know when they're in bondage in one of these ways. They don't even realize that a bondage or someone's controlling them until they're taught truly what can bring them into bondage, until they learn some of these principles here today. They don't know what holds them back from joy and peace. They don't know what holds them back from releasing their marriage. And we can suggest some of these things, and perhaps one or two of you just laugh and say, this is totally ridiculous. It's ridiculous that we can have a soul tie to an oath or a pledge or a church or a person. When we pray with people that have left the church, we always break the soul tie that they have with that church. Now, if they left in bitterness, we have them go back and resolve that. But you still break the soul tie. Let's look at how, when it goes deeper into this emotional dependent relationship, what occurs there. Emotional dependent relationship means an extreme attachment between two people that uses manipulation to control each other's lives. An extreme attachment between two people that uses manipulation to control each other's lives is a type of soul tie that can happen in a friendship, that can happen between parents and children, that can happen in a marriage. It can happen between boy and girlfriend. Boy, remember those teenage years? Did you get into emotional dependent relationships? Boy, I had one, and it just destroyed me with a girlfriend. But it goes can go into a deeper thing of domination, intimidation, manipulation, witchcraft, if it becomes too controlling and dominating. Colossians 3:5 says, therefore, consider the member of your body, earthly body, as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. One word used here, I believe, in the King James, uses inordinate affection. And it amounts to idolatry. An emotional dependent relationship is always the sin of idolatry. Now, this word inordinate affection means lust, passion, or emotional influence to affect or afflict another person. Lust, passion, or an emotional influence to affect or afflict another person. It's an emotional attachment that is used to control or dominate another person. God says in this verse, it's idolatry. The motives behind the relationship are soulish in nature, and they open doors to demonic forces. And eventually, they can lead to sexual activity or sexual desires, impure desires within the person. It's how many people get caught up into homosexuality or lesbianism. There may be the aggressor in the situation and the one that's passive in it and doesn't know what's going on, but they're drawn into it by that emotional soul tie of mind, will, and emotions that's taken place between those two or more persons. It may happen over a long, extended period of time. What this emotional dependent relationship is all outright deception and a lie. Hosea 2, verse 5. It happens between lovers very often, especially within a marriage relationship and an affair that goes on outside a relationship, or it happens even among Christian people. Some of you that were Christians when you were single, did you find that emotional dependent relationship as the love was drawing stronger and stronger towards another? Did you find Satan trying to twist it every Friday night? Trying to move it towards the sexual? Trying to move it out of the will of God into his sphere of influence? Here's why. Verse 5. For their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Here's the lie of an emotional dependent relationship. This person's everything to me. They are what sustain me and give me life. I need them more than I need anything in the world. It can happen between the boss and the secretary. And here he's got a wonderful wife and family at home, but because of the ongoing input between the boss and the secretary, flowing back and forth. What was once their love at home and what they lived for in that spouse and that family at home, now because of all the intimate talking and over business, and usually one of them is the aggressor in that, but not always, what happens between pastors and their secretaries or their counselees many times, as we learned about a little bit yesterday. It may not have intended to start that way, but because the tie is there between the mind and the will and the emotions, it begins to move it towards the thought, I can't live without this person. One of the greatest men of God I personally know in the country that has written books and has got books on every shelf, or not that shelf, I didn't see any, but in every bookstore on communion with God and prayer and intimacy and covenant relationships and fasting, just 2 months ago, ran off with a lady that for 20 years has been his secretary and the one that edited all his manuscripts and the writings of all these books he went out. Why? For 20 years, a bond was occurring between mind, will, and emotions. And it took 20 years, but Satan came in and gradually, he'll wait 20 years to take one man down. Gradually, will twist and twist and twist. Until this man gave up one of the greatest churches in America, the greatest ministries, and he moved to Florida, left his wife and kids, and moved to Florida with his secretary. See, they became everything to each other. And you'll hear that over, I can't live without that person. Emotional dependent relationship. My wife says that, I don't know what I'd ever do. I couldn't live without you. And we remind each other, hey, God's more important than either one of us are to each other.